Kenyatta, President of the Republic of Kenya, Your Excellency Jose Mario Vaz, President of Guinea-Bissau, Your Excellency Kwesi Bekwin Emisaata, Vice President of the Republic of Ghana, and Mrs. Matilda Emisaata, Your Excellencies, former President Jerry John Rawlings and Nana Kunedu Ajman Rawlings, Your Excellency John Ajikun Kofor, Your Excellency Lordina Dramani Mahama, the Right Honorable Edward Do Ajaho, Speaker of Parliament, Her Ladyship, the Chief Justice Georgina Theodora Wood, the Chairman and Members of the Council of State, Ministers of State, Members of Parliament, leaders and representatives of political parties, traditional leaders, religious leaders, members of the diplomatic corps, invited guests, my fellow Ghanaians. I'd like to begin by congratulating each and every Ghanaian for your role in ensuring that our beloved country has been able to celebrate yet another year of independence and liberty with democracy and rule of law at the helm of affairs. Let me congratulate and commend our school children and our security forces for a very beautiful parade that you have put on this morning. The reason that we gather each year to celebrate our independence is because it is not to be taken for granted. The struggles and sacrifices that were required to gain us our liberty must never, ever be forgotten. They were struggles and sacrifices made by people whose names are perhaps not as widely known and whose stories have not been as widely spread, and yet these were people without whom we would not be where we are today. One of the most important reasons we gather each year to celebrate our independence is to acknowledge the responsibility that we as citizens carry for its continuation. We are the ones that must ensure that there is liberty in our land. Every year, school children are included in the Independence Day Parade, not for the purposes of entertainment, but rather as a presentation of our nation's future. These children are the future of Ghana. They are the future that the men and women in our forces who marched today with them are tasked to protect. It is our responsibility to safeguard our independence so that the nation that we leave for our children to inherit will also be free, peaceful, and democratic. Joining us today to celebrate our independence are two African presidents who understand the importance of that responsibility and what it means for generations to inherit a nation that is either primed for success or in need of saving. We welcome their excellencies Jose Mario Vaz and Uhuru Kenyatta, presidents of Guinea-Bissau and Kenya, respectively. In December 2014, I was privileged to join President Uhuru Kenyatta to celebrate Jamhuri Day during my official visit to the Republic of Kenya. On that occasion, I extended an invitation to President Kenyatta to pay us a reciprocal visit, and I am happy that my friend and brother is with us today. As chair of ECOWAS, I was engaged in the process of returning our sister country, Guinea-Bissau, to constitutional democracy. And I am happy that today my brother, Jose Mario Vaz, President of Guinea-Bissau, is here with us today as one of our special guests. Since attaining independence from Portugal in 1972, Guinea-Bissau has been engaged in a constant struggle to maintain peace and stability. In 2014, following elections in that country, President Vaz assumed the highest office of the land. President Mario Vaz has been credited for reintroducing the rule of law to Guinea-Bissau. As the first sub-Saharan nation to gain independence, Ghana inspired other nations to claim their freedom from colonial domination. Today, as our citizens enjoy peace, security, and freedom of speech, and expect transparent, non-violent electoral processes at all levels of government, Ghana is also inspiring other nations, such as Guinea-Bissau, to maintain a consistent constitutional democracy. In 1963, Mzee Jomo Kenyatta led his homeland, Kenya, to independence. On that day, this is what President Jomo Kenyatta said to the citizens of the newly liberated Kenya. "I ask you to dedicate yourselves to the memory of those who have gone before us and to those who must follow us. I ask you to resolve to put aside all selfish desires and to strain every ounce of muscle and brain to building a nation which shall honor our dead, inspire our living, and prove a proud heritage for those who are yet to come." President Uhuru Kenyatta, who is our special guest today, was only 2 years old when his father spoke those words. During the years that have filled the gap between that day in 1963 and the day in 2013 when he was sworn in as his nation's fourth president, Kenya, like so many other African nations, have experienced periods of economic difficulties and political turmoil. But today, Kenya is thriving, fighting back against all that would stand in the way of its progress. And despite the political difficulties that they have traveled through generations, the citizens of Guinea-Bissau also still hold fast to the hope of a continuation of security and many more peaceful transitions of power. My brothers and sisters, it is no secret that President Uhuru Kenyatta stands on the shoulders of Mzee Jomo Kenyatta, that President Jose Mario Vaz stands on the shoulders of Amilcar Cabral, or that I stand on the shoulders of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, his colleagues of the Big Six, and the many heroes of Ghana's liberation. The future we are building is situated on the ground that they broke. As we remember this, we must bear in mind that in some years to come, these children who marched here today will be depending on our attitudes and our actions. The changes we make to lift them higher, to provide them with a solid foundation on which they too can build this nation. The successes and failures of this nation belong to all of us, because this country is for all of us, and we can each choose to play a role, no matter how seemingly minor, in moving our dear nation Ghana forward. We must invest ourselves not only in the achievements our nation has chalked, but also in the challenges, because each of us is the face of Ghana. When Kofi Annan was named Secretary General of the United Nations, the world knew him as a Ghanaian, the first black African to ever hold that title. And we all took pride in our native son. When we see Farida Bedwe being featured in the international media, or we learn that Taye Selassie's novel Ghana Must Go is on the New York Times bestseller list, we sit up straight and we think to ourselves, yes, that person is one of us. That person is a Ghanaian. We do not stop to think about what political party they are associated with. We do not stop to think what their ethnic origin is. We do not stop to think what region of the country they are from or which religion they practice. We celebrate them as Ghanaian because they are the face of Ghana. And all of Africa claims them as well. When Wole Soyinka won the Nobel Prize for Literature, he belonged to all of Africa, not just Nigeria. And when Lupita Nyong'o won the Academy Award, she was holding that Oscar for all of Africa, not just for Kenya. And so when 14-year-old Abraham Atta won the Independent Spirit Award, he was not just representing his country, he was being applauded by all of Africa. Though I'm sure we applauded the loudest because he's one of us and he's a face of our proud country, Ghana. When the Black Stars were the only African team surviving in the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, every African became a Ghanaian and supported the Black Stars strongly. This is the pride and unity we must foster in ourselves every day. Certainly, there remains much more work to be done. And certainly, we will have our differing political views on the best way to do that work. But we must use those discussions to strengthen who we are as one nation and to find solutions to the challenges that face us. We cannot encourage conversations and activities that are meant to discourage us, to divide us, to weaken our morale, or limit our potential in this particular moment. To quote a popular expression, we cannot afford to cut off our nose to spite our face. Not when so many have sacrificed so much for us to succeed. Not when there are children watching and waiting to follow in the footsteps of our heroes, to follow in the footsteps of Theodosia Okoh, to follow in the footsteps of Kamla Dumont, Kofi Awuno, Efua Sutherland, and our many other Ghanaian heroes. Not when we can heed the words of our founding president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who in the first moments of 6th March 1957 said to the citizens of this new nation, Ghana, "We are going to demonstrate to the world, to the other nations, that we are prepared to lay our own foundation, our own African personality." And today, 59 years later, we have done just that. The name Ghana means something in the world outside of our national borders. It represents a kinship, a determination, a disposition, a resolve. It represents perseverance. It represents dignity. It represents integrity. Gaining independence in sub-Saharan Africa is not our only first. Ghana was the first African nation to provide peacekeeping forces to the United Nations at a time when the dangers of peacekeeping were still unqualified, unquantified. Ghana was the first country in the world chosen to receive Peace Corps volunteers. Ghana was the first country to win the FIFA Under 17 World Cup. And Ghana was the first African country to win the FIFA Under 20 World Cup. Ghana was the first country to open its borders for the provision of humanitarian aid to transit to the three most affected countries in the fight against Ebola. Indeed, there are many firsts that our nation can look on with pride. The name Ghana represents excellence and evokes respect in the Committee of Nations. So today, I applaud the good people of Ghana for continuing to define and demonstrate what Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah described as our own African personality. May you always carry with pride, and may you always carry within you the pride and the love of country Ghana. We may be many and a diverse people, but we are one nation with one destiny. One awesome, powerful nation whose presence on the world stage as a leader, as a peacekeeper, as a society of warmth and kindness, as a hub of talent, an attendant of culture and heritage, and an architect of change cannot be denied. We must continue to work hard together to keep that black star shining. Now, I would like to close my address with the words from the second stanza of our national anthem. And it reads, "Hail to thy name, O Ghana. To thee we make a solemn vow, steadfast to build together a nation strong in unity. With our gifts of mind and strength of arm, whether night or day, in the midst of the storm, in every need, whatever the call may be, to serve thee, Ghana, now and evermore." May God grant us the strength as citizens to live up to the words of the second stanza of our national anthem. May God bless each and every one of you. May God continue to bless our beloved homeland, Ghana, and may Ghana remain free forevermore. Long live Ghana, long live Kenya, long live Guinea-Bissau, long live Africa. I thank you very much.